You're lucky I'm there to stop people doing the things that you know they are dying to do. You know I am no stranger. I know rules are a bore, but just to keep you from danger, I am the law. You know I am no stranger. I know rules are a bore, but just to keep you from danger, I am the law.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Third Degree Burn. I'm Nigel Spink, the Burn fan in Japan, and I am your host for today. Now, I think it's fair to say that John Byrne is one of, if not the best artist to ever work at Marvel and DC. He's well known for his work on titles such as X-Men, Fantastic Four, Alpha Flight, Superman, Wonder Woman, and many, many more. However, in this one-off episode, I'm turning my attention to perhaps a lesser known work of John Byrne's. In 1985, John Byrne was given the opportunity to draw Eagle Comics character Judge Dredd, who was probably the most famous character at that time in British comics. Now, most of you are probably aware of who Judge Dredd is, but perhaps not everyone listening knows much about his history. So before I get into Byrne's particular story, I'll just give you a brief history of how Dredd was created and some of the facts about the futuristic world in which he operates. So the character Judge Dredd first appeared in issue number 2 of 2000 AD comic in February of 1977. This was the first British comic in a long while to focus on sci-fi themed stories. And the stories were all originally printed in black and white. Pat Mills was the writer, and he had worked on IPC's Battle Picture Weekly and Action Comic. And he was the driving force behind 2000 AD. He was joined by writer John Wagner, who had worked with Mills on the launch of Battle Picture Weekly. And amongst the many things that they did, that they wrote, came up with, Wagner had a story idea for a cop of the future. And his early sketches for this, this character, portrayed the lawman as an elderly Clint Eastwood type. However, that would change several times over the next few months or even years. And then Wagner then commissioned another artist, Carlos Esquerra, to draw his version of Dredd. But by then they were thinking towards a futuristic version. So Esquerra created the look of the iconic lawman from a post-apocalyptic future. A man who would be judge, jury, and executioner rolled into one. Esquerra also created the other things connected to Dredd, like the Lawmaster bikes, which he and all the other judges rode in Mega City 1. And of course, he also created pictures of the city landscape as backgrounds to his preliminary drawings. And Mills and Wagner really liked the look of those two, and that became what we would know as Mega City 1, which is where Judge Dredd operates and where the stories mostly take place. Now, just to let you know a bit more about Mega City 1, it's a post-nuclear city. We're talking about these stories taking place at the end of the 21st century, moving into the 22nd century. And it's a post-nuclear city, which covers much of what is now the eastern United States and some of Canada. So from north to south, the city spread from around the Great Lakes area to the bottom of Florida. And going the other way, it spread west into Ohio, West Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. And that's where the city boundary was, if you like. West of that was the rest of America, which was now called or known as the Cursed Earth. And it was a radioactive wasteland, basically, following atomic wars from the previous century. Megacity 1 is not the only city in America at this point. There is also a Megacity 2, which appears in several of the stories of Judge Dredd. And that is basically the same thing, but it's built along the western seaboard of America. And down in the south, there is also a Texas city. And to give you a little bit more information about how the people live within that city, the city's made up mostly of these giant residential blocks. They are huge city blocks. They're considered to be like a small town in themselves. Each block possesses a hospital, a gymnasium, schools, shopping districts, as well as your residential apartments of varying sizes. And basically, a citizen can quite literally live their whole life without ever leaving the block. So citizens develop a high loyalty to their block, and most blocks have a city defense militia. There's often riots breaking out between two or more blocks over different issues, and the inhabitants will fight against a neighboring block for various reasons. These are known commonly as a block war. And these break out from time to time and are featured in different Judge Dredd stories. Something else you need to know about the blocks: they're all named after famous or historical figures or pop culture characters. For example, you can live in the Charlton Heston block, or Charles Darwin block, or Dan Tanner block, or Jimmy Carter block, and so on. In fact, Judge Dredd himself has an apartment in Rowdy Yates' block. Not that he takes a lot of time off. Judge Dredd's usually on the job most of the time, but yeah, he does have an apartment when he has a rest from time to time. Now, as I said, the early stories, they ran for about 6 pages in the weekly comic 2000 AD. Some of them were a little bit longer, at say 12 to 16 pages, depending. But yeah, they were a lot of just one and done stories to begin with, or maybe just two parties. Although Dredd was a popular character in the early issues, he was not the comic's top character for a while. It wasn't until the first serial story they did, which was a 9-part story called Robot Wars. That's the one that really elevated him to the top character status in that comic. And then from there, Dredd then just grew in popularity, and by 1982, his stories were being printed in other countries: France, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands. And his title first appeared in the US from November 1983. These were, copies, if you like, or reprints of the black and white stories that had already appeared in Britain. But these were in colour now. The main artists on Dredd in the early years were Carlos Esquerra, of course, who'd helped create the character in the first place, Mike McMahon, Ron Smith, and Brian Bolland, the latter of which became the definitive artist for Dredd, in my opinion anyway. And so, yeah, that basically gives you a little bit of background information about Dredd's beginning and the place where he lives and works, Mega City One. As I said before, he's the lawman, or one of many lawmen, and they are now basically judge, jury and executioner. So when a crime is committed, they've done away with all the arresting and court procedures. The judges can pass sentence immediately, and the sentences for some of the crimes are quite harsh, yeah, including death for certain crimes. Now, this brings me then to looking at the story that John Byrne would draw featuring Judge Dredd. So the story appeared in a 6-issue limited series title called Judge Dredd Crime File, issue number 1, which was cover dated August 1985. On sale around the same time in the US was the Judge Dredd monthly comic, which had started, as I said, in 83. So they were on Judge Dredd number 22. And also there was a 2000 AD monthly, which printed other stories from that comic. And this was issue number 5. So let's have a look at the story that Byrne actually drew. The title of Byrne's story was called Blockout. And the writer of the story was John Wagner, who wrote many of the Judge Dredd stories. The artist was John Byrne. The letterer was Tom Frame. And the colourist was John Burns. No, not the same one. This guy was John Burns, spelt B-U-R-N-S. But what a coincidence. And I have a synopsis for this, which I will read to you now. If, as a listener, you actually own a copy of this story, perhaps you might want to follow along looking through your issue if it is handy for you. So here we go. It's the 12th annual Mega City Blockout Final, live from the Crater Bowl, a stadium built on a decontaminated First War rad pit. Two commentators, Ken Barnett and Fess Housego, are previewing the block teams that are competing in the final. Now, Fess Housego is actually captain of last year's block out champions, Doris Day Block. The blocks competing in this year's final were the Bart Brecht block, the Derek Beatty block, and the Arturo Aski block. And the Brecht block are down as the favourites to win this particular game. The game itself is a combination of mental knowledge of all types and a physical game played on a three-way chessboard layout with players known as Wallies and Pigs. Now, in both cases, these people are dressed up rather like gridiron players from the NFL. Only the Wallies tend to be very thin, slight people because they need to nip about. And the Pigs are massive guys, okay? Like linemen, only perhaps twice or three times as big. Now, outside the Crater Bowl, in charge of crowd control is Judge Dredd. His men are on duty and they're already catching and arresting troublemakers from the fans of all three finalist blocks. Dredd gets a call that fans from Aski are getting through the fence, dividing them from Brecht supporters and causing a fight. A squad of judges are sent in to quell the disturbance, but Dredd's not happy, as he wants the troublemakers identified and weeded out before they start trouble. The game begins on the hover platform, holding the three panellists from each team and the game's master, Marv Crisp. The first question goes to Derek Beatty panel, and they answer correctly. allowing them to move a Wally, Jumping Jack Andropov, onto their home grid for 3 squares. The next question is answered correctly by ASCII panel, who send on a defensive pig, Big Thud McCursey, to the Beatty grid. The pig bounces on and smashes the Beatty Wally out of the game. This stirs up trouble between rival ASCII and Beatty fans, and Dredd leads a few judges into the thick of the fighting to stamp out the skirmish. As the troublemakers are led away, one fan pleads with Dredd that it's their living environment which makes them so hostile. But Dredd points out that they now will have a new environment, and he sentences them to 5 years. Suddenly, the fan is shot dead by a sniper. Judge Dredd orders the hover wagon to spot the culprit, and they see him on top of the commentary dome. Dredd aims and fires a heat-seeker bullet, which finds its mark and takes out the rogue Brecht sniper. Meanwhile, in the game, Brecht have a Wally running for the central ring, but a team-up of defensive pigs by ASCII and Beatty stop the Wally and he gets pigged out. However, ASCII Wally Ricky Ticky Wilson slips under a Brecht pig's legs and reaches the central ring. He uses the springboard, which catapults the lightweight Wally up to the Beatty panelists on the hover table. Now, having reached an opposing panel, the Wally has the right to eliminate one panelist. He chooses Beatty's science buff, Art Meagus, and throws him over the side, where a net man hovers below to catch the falling players. The judges continue to try and control the crowds, and when Dredd realises that the Beatty team will be the first eliminated, he calls in huge ploughs to force the Beatty supporters towards the exits. Dredd then receives news of a shootout inside the stadium at the OK Snackery. Some Brecht diehards have laid on an ambush, and the Beattys have sent in their city defence to attack. When they ignore Dredd's orders to surrender, he calls in the stum gas, which causes nausea, unconsciousness, and sometimes death to the people fired upon. This stops the firefight, and the surviving perps get 15 years hard labour. Back in the supporters' area, things are really getting fever pitch, as Brecht and ASCII teams are both down to one panellist left. The electric fences are keeping the supporters apart for now, but Dredd decides to call in air reserve. In the game, ASCII panellist answers his question incorrectly, and the Brecht panellist steals, giving Brecht a do-or-die move. They decide to move a pig to the centre ring. Pigs can enter the centre ring, but the rules say they must use the pneumatic howitzer for their jump, and that can be very tricky. The Brecht pig fires himself off straight for the ASCII panel, but he overshoots and crashes into the commentary position. That leaves a clear ring run for ASCII Wally Leapy Levinsky, who reaches the Brecht panelist and throws him out. Arturo ASCII Block have won the Crater Bowl. Brecht fans lose all sense of reason and attack the rival fans, but Dredd orders in the air reserve for riot foam, total coverage. The foam solidifies around troublemakers, immobilizing them until they are cut free and arrested. Problems over, the trophy is presented to the winning team, who receive it in eerie silence. Ken Barnett thanks Judge Dredd for controlling the crowd so completely, and Dredd replies that they learned a valuable lesson from tonight's operation. And he finally says, next year, we use the riot foam before the game starts. And that's the end of the story. So yeah, it's a good little 14-page story. As I say, it's probably reminiscent of one of the early style length of stories. And it's well drawn. You can see Burns' classic style, although he is at the same time trying to give it a feel of the look of the Dread comics at that time. And I think he did quite a good job of that. So if you're a Burn fan, and also if you're a Judge Dredd fan, yeah, it's a good read. It's a must read for you, really. Now, one or two things that I'd like to just cover with regard to the story. As I say, there were one or two, or three even, names mentioned during the story of different people, players, etc. And in Judge Dredd stories, they often use names that were connected to real people of the time, of the 70s, 80s, etc., who might be in the news or doing something particular at that time. And there's one or two instances of that, I feel, in this story that have been written in by Wagner. The first one, as I said, there were two commentators, and one of them was called Fess Housego, which sounds very much like Fred Housego. Now, who's Fred Housego? I hear you all shouting. Well, Fred Housego was a London taxi driver in the 1980s who won a BBC TV quiz programme called Mastermind. So, as I say, this is now 1985. But, you know, people would still remember him having won that particular quiz. It was a very popular quiz on TV at the time. And so it also relates to part of the game in this story. So Fess Housego, Fred Housego. Then we get the names of the three blocks. There was the Brecht block, the Beatty block, and the ASCII block. Now, I had a look. I couldn't really find anything much on Bert Brecht. It didn't mean anything to me. But I did have a look in Wikipedia, and details of a Bertrand Brecht, a German poet of the 20th century, came up. They could have used him or his name for this story. Now, the other two, Derek Beatty block. Now, Derek Beatty, again, was a well-known TV presenter and interviewer and game show host on British TV. He was very famous for hosting a game show called Mr. and Mrs. So, you know, anyone who'd ever seen him on TV, they would recognise that name. And then the other block called Arturo ASCII. Well, Arturo is just another form of Arthur. And there was an English comedian called Arthur ASCII. He was born in 1900 and he died in 1982, which would have only been a couple of years before this story saw print. And he was an old-time music hall comedian, and then he starred later in other TV shows. And even I remember seeing him on TV when I was younger. Another name that came up, or a play on the name, one of the questions that was asked in the game itself was, who was the first man to step foot on the sun? To which the answer was the late Keddy Tennedy, which is obviously just a slight change to Teddy Kennedy. And possibly another parody on a name. One of the panellists who was early thrown out of the game, called, I think it was Migas, yes, Art Migas, is possibly a parody on Arthur Negus, with an N, who again was a British TV personality and an antiques expert. He appeared on Antiques Roadshow, which was popular on TV in Britain during that time. And finally, one of the Wallys from one of the teams was called Jumping Jack Andropov. He didn't last very long before he got kicked out of the game. But again, around that same time in the early 80s, Yuri Andropov, who served as General Secretary of the Communist Party for the Soviet Union and succeeded Brezhnev, and he served from November 1982 to February 1984. So it's very likely they took the name Andropov from him. So there you go. And there were lots of these kind of references popped up now and again in the Dread stories. Okay, so this was the one and only story that John Byrne drew. So you might ask, why did he never do any more? Yeah, good question. Okay, we know he was very busy at Marvel as it was. He was at the height of his career, probably, in the 80s. And so he wasn't short of work. But as I say, this story seemed to go down quite well. Why did they not ask him to do any more? Why did he not get the, you know, get the chance to do any more? Well, maybe the answer to that is coming from John Byrne himself. I'm going to just read you something from his website. It's a fan of his who wrote to him in 2006. And obviously this fan was not aware of this story. And this is what he said. He says, John, I have often visualized Judge Dredd as scripted and drawn by you. Your futuristic cityscapes and ease with the sci-fi medium would, in my opinion, make you the person for the job of making Dredd more iconic. The recent Doom Patrol series, Robot Wars, only increased my vision of a John Byrne mega city. Have you any familiarity with the character? And would you consider a special or crossover, such as another Batman Judge Dredd, if it were offered to you? And John Byrne did reply to this fan and said the following, I quote, I did a Dredd story back in the 1980s, which is the one we've been looking at. At the time, I was reading a lot of Dredd, having just discovered, in inverted commas, the character. I started concocting stories in my head, and let it be known that I would be delighted to illustrate one should the opportunity present itself. It did, with disappointing results. Unfortunately, the script I was sent was all about a Colosseum-sized game show and had Megacity One's top lawman in charge of crowd control. Basically, it played to none of the real strengths of either Dredd or me. So, it's quite obvious that John Byrne was less than thrilled with the outcome of this. He perhaps thought they might let him use some of his ideas as well. But it seems they were very protective of their character, and the only thing they offered him was a story written by one of their top Dredd writers, and Byrne was just required to literally draw it as they wanted it for the sake of the story. And so, yeah, he probably thought, oh, well, I'll leave that then. But that was not the only time then that Byrne had anything to do with a Dredd comic. He did get further work later on in the 90s. DC, they were asked to do some stories under the title of Legends of the Law. It was to help promote the first Judge Dredd movie that was coming out in 1995 with Sylvester Stallone playing Judge Dredd. And this had several stories. There was 13 issues done altogether, and there were several issues. Sorry, there were several stories within these issues by different writers and artists. And John Byrne had actually written a Judge Dredd story, which did appear in issues 8, 9 and 10 of Legends of the Law. And then he also did some cover artwork on issues 11, 12 and 13. And if anybody hasn't seen those cover pictures for those issues, I can probably put pictures of those up on the Facebook page. But yeah, that was it. That is the entire, that is the entirety of Byrne's work on Judge Dredd. So that brings me basically to the end of this little show. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this, and if you weren't aware of this story before, well, you now know that it's out there. And yeah, as I say, I suggest you have a look, see if you can still pick it up somewhere, because it's well worth a read if you're a Byrne fan. So again, thanks for listening. I'm Nigel Spink. Have a good day.
Inhabitants of Peach Trees, this is Judge Dredd.
Let him talk.
In case you people have forgotten, this block operates under the same rules as the rest of the city. Mama is not the law. I am the law. Mama is a common criminal. Guilty of murder. Guilty of the manufacture and distribution of the narcotic known as Slow-Mo. And as of now, under sentence of death. Any who obstruct me in carrying out my duty will be treated as an accessory to her crimes. You have been warned. And as for you, Mama, judgment time.
Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's TWOTRUEFREAKS.com. Third Degree Byrne is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the Tutu Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Byrne, spelled with the number 3, and Byrne spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's GOTTAGETBYRNED@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Byrne.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.